love how my kids interpret things. Young kids, I love how their minds work sometimes. I was looking back at things that Josiah said when he was younger, and he used to call construction workers instruction workers. Or instead of asking to be picked up, he would say, "I hold you? I hold you?" Recently, I told Malachi that he couldn't store water in his mouth. Now, the things you say as a parent, can I get an amen from all the parents? So I'm telling Malachi, "Malachi, you can't store water in your mouth. Like, you have to swallow it. That's what drinking is. You swallow it." And he looks at me with a grin and a twinkle in his eye, and he says, "Then what are your cheeks made for, Mom?" Amen. Yes, I guess that's right. I guess that's a great perspective. Kids are new to the world, and sometimes they see things literally or with a partial understanding. And it can be the same for us when it comes to the things of God. 1 Corinthians 13:12, I like how the Christian Standard Version says it. It says, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known." We only know in part. There's always more to understand and learn, and that's not a bad thing. I think it's important for us to approach God and the things of God with a desire to learn more, instead of thinking that we've ascertained or we've learned everything that there is to know. And that brings us to our story today, found in John 3. We're going to start at verse 1. John 3, verse 1 says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' And Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' And Jesus answered, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.'" Nicodemus's response kind of reminds me of something my kids would say. You know, my kids take things very literally. So he took what Jesus said very literally. Born again, how can someone be reborn or born again? And Jesus went on to explain that he was talking about a spiritual birth, not a physical one. Pastor has recently talked a lot about what it means to be born of the water in baptism and born of the Spirit by receiving the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was more so talking about becoming a new person spiritually. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." I think this is one of the most incredible things about the gospel, is that we who are fallen in sin and shapen in iniquity have the opportunity to be made new. And being raised in church, I think I found myself to limit being born again to a new believer's experience or to the new birth experience. But becoming a new creature isn't just a one-time deal. If we look at 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." And so we are renewed as followers of Christ day by day. It's a constant process of renewal. And I really truly believe that that renewal is facilitated through repentance. It reminds me of Psalms 51:10. "Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." When we have a heart of repentance towards God, we are renewed day by day. And for me, this is so encouraging. I was just thinking about what Pastor was saying, Brother Lomax's phrase, you know, "life be lifing." And I think that's so funny, but this is so encouraging to me because mistakes happen, hurts happen, sickness happens, Trauma happens, betrayal happens, loss happens, life happens. But those things don't have to be permanent or defining. We can be made new day after day. This encourages me so much that being born again is not just a one-time experience. It's not just, okay, I did step A, B, and C, I've done all the things, and now my born again experience is done. No, it's a continual process of renewal in our lives, day after day. When we face a situation, okay, it happened, and yes, that's hard, but I have the opportunity to go to God and get renewal again day after day after day. Amen. Let's go back to the first thing that Nicodemus said to Jesus. So if we go back in John 3 and we go back to verse 2, it says, "This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" I think initially Nicodemus recognized the power from God that Jesus had. He saw the miracles. He saw the signs. He saw the wonders. And perhaps in his mind, in the back of his mind, he kind of questioned why Jesus could perform such miracles while the Pharisees could not. Nicodemus and his fellow Pharisees, they followed the letter of the law to a T. They emphasized exact obedience to everything in the law. They studied it day and night. They looked at it and they tried to follow that exactly. Yet, this didn't bring them salvation. It didn't bring them relationship, and it didn't give them the power. And Jesus came to establish a new way and a new covenant. If we look at Romans 8:3-4, it says, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." We are so blessed to live in a time where we no longer have to be under that law. We no longer have to try to follow the law to the exactness that we need to follow it. But God went from being this distant thing to now he can live inside of us and we can have this covenant relationship with him. Aren't you thankful we live in a time that God is in us? Amen? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" It used to be in the Old Testament that the temple, that where God's presence dwelt, was behind a big veil. Nobody could go there. Nobody had access. But now we are the temples of God. And I think sometimes we might take that for granted, that we have this access, that anytime we need to, anytime we can go to God and we can experience him, not just over here, but in here. Amen? I remember when I received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It was just before my 5th birthday. And I remember I wanted more of God than I ever had before. And I was at home and I knelt down next to my bed at night and I just began repenting. And God filled me at 4 years old in my bedroom with the Holy Ghost. And I will never forget, just thinking about it now, I'll never forget what I felt. I will never forget the joy and the peace and the experience in my young mind that God was no longer distant, but I felt him in me. It's hard to even explain. I remember I was just so happy that Jesus was living inside my heart. And if you've never experienced that before, I want to encourage you that you can today. It's amazing. It's an incredible experience. And even more incredible is that after I turned 5, my whole life fell apart. My parents, marriage was in turmoil. My life turned so upside down. And I know for certain that if a 4-year-old little girl right before her 5th birthday did not receive God's Spirit living inside of her, I wouldn't be here today. I would not be talking to you right now. I don't know what my story would be. But I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I have access to the King of Kings, that I have access to the Lord of Lords. Amen. For those of you who have experienced the new birth, for those of you who have had the opportunity to be baptized and to be filled with the Holy Ghost, can you remember what that was like and how you felt? I think it's so important for us to remember. It's easy to forget. It's easy to settle into life. It's easy to get complacent. But every so often, I like to stop and I like to think back and remember what God has done for me, how He filled me, how He delivered me out of terrible situations, how He's restored my life, how He's provided for me. It's important for us to remember. We can't just come settling in day to day. This is what we do. We come to church, we sing our songs, we raise our hands, we speak in tongues, whatever that is. It's important for us to know. Remember what God has done for you. Don't forget that. Let that fire stay alive in your life, in your heart. Amen? Amen. It reminds me of Psalms 103, 1 through 4. We hear this a lot. We sing about it all the time. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." You know, I've seen that phrase, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," so many times in my life. And we sing a song, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul." And we just kind of go along with that. But this is David. He's talking to himself. He's speaking to his soul. He is saying, "Soul, you need to bless the Lord. Soul, don't forget the benefits. Don't forget what He's done for you. Don't forget how He's healed you." And sometimes, church, sometimes we need to speak to our soul and we need to remind ourselves of who God is and what He has done in our lives. Hallelujah, Jesus. We are so blessed to live under a new covenant. Again, God is not just some distant God way out there. We now have access to this covenant relationship, and we can't take that for granted. Soul, remind my soul, bless the Lord. He's so worthy to be praised. Amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Nicodemus wasn't just any Pharisee. The Bible says that he was a ruler. He was a leader of the Jews. And yet, with all the hours of studying the law, with everything that Nicodemus knew, he was hungry for something more. So he snuck away in physical darkness because he was in spiritual darkness and he was searching for more. Again, I've been in this church my whole life. I've grown up in church my whole life. I've never known anything else. And I think when you've been in church a long time and you know a lot about God, it's easy to become complacent or think that you understand how God works, or to think that you've attained knowing this is God and this is how God works in people's lives and my lives. But I don't want to let my spiritual knowledge hinder my desire to grow and to learn more. There is no end to God. There is no end to growing in God. And it reminds me of a scripture that Pastor's been preaching to us lately, and we can turn there now. It's Philippians 3. We'll start in verse 12 and go to verse 14. Philippians 3:12 says, Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, not that I have already attained. I've not arrived yet. And he says, I do not count myself to apprehended. I don't have it all yet. But what am I going to do? I'm going to continue to press. I'm going to continue to reach. I'm going to continue to grow. I'm going to continue to believe that there's more in God. I want something inside of me like that. I want the same. I don't want to believe that I've learned everything there is to know. I've experienced everything there is to know about God now. I've served him for over 30 years, and this is what it is. No, I want God to reveal himself to me in a deeper, in a greater way. I want a hunger to be stirred up in my soul. I don't want to be satisfied with just coming here day after day and going through the same routine day after day. No, there is more to God. No matter if you're 50 years old, no matter if you're 80 years old, there is always a next step to take in the Lord. Amen? Psalms 145:3. I love this scripture. It says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. It means that his greatness, it's so vast. It's so profound. It cannot be measured. It is unsearchable. And I think sometimes we need to challenge our hearts and our minds to recognize, no, this isn't just the same old thing. He's not just the same old God. There is more for us to know. There is more greatness in him for us to experience. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. You know, Nicodemus had to come to Jesus with his preconceived ideas about what it meant to live for God. Nicodemus, the only thing that he knew was the law. And he had a lot of thoughts about what living for God was and what it meant and what it looked like. And yet, he was willing to come and try to talk to Jesus and understand a new way. And it's the same for us. Often we have to come to God with our own preconceived thoughts and ideas. And unfortunately, we can try to fit him within the confines of what our human mind can understand. But God doesn't fit in a box. And I'm so guilty of this myself that I just think, well, God's going to heal this way, or God's going to provide this way, or God's going to do it this way. But why am I boxing him in? God is not confined in a box. Why can't I think outside of that and break out of that limit? Isaiah 55:8-9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as high as the heavens, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, honestly, when I've read this scripture before and I have taken it in as like, and this is just me being a little honest for a second, that I'm dumb. Like, I'm stupid and I can't figure out God's ways because I just don't, like, there's something in my brain that I can't figure it out, you know, that I just have a hard time understanding. But really what this is saying is it's saying that God's thoughts and ways are higher than we can even think or imagine or fathom. And how many of you have a great imagination? I know some people do. And to take that into context, that God's ways are so much higher. They're so much greater than what we can even think up in our own mind. And I just want to encourage us this morning. Can you break the box? Can you break the limits that you placed on God? What is it that you're facing right now? What is it that you're going through? What's the circumstance? Can you expect for God to show up in a way that maybe he's never showed up before? What if he wants to do something new? What if he wants to just, you know, reveal himself to you in a way that he never has before? I love the scripture found in Isaiah 43:19. Isaiah 43:19 says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God is wanting to do something new. He is wanting to open up your mind and do something different and incredible and mighty and powerful in your life. And the question is, shall you not know it? Shall you not know it? That means, can you see it? Can you reach for it? Can you imagine it? Can you fathom it? Can your heart be open to receive this new thing that God might be wanting to do in your life? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, maybe you've faced the same situation before. And God showed up in a certain way. Maybe you're facing the same situation again and you just expect that he'll show up in a certain way, just like he did before. But I really feel this morning that God is wanting somebody to step out in faith and say, I want to do something different. Will you open up your heart to me? Will you open up your mind to me? I don't want to box God in. I don't want to limit him. I want to believe that he is bigger than I could ever imagine. And let me say something here. Our problems and our circumstances and trials that we face, they want to tower over us like Goliath. They appear larger than life, and they appear unbeatable. And often in our humanity, we can look at those and think there is no way God can be big enough to handle that. But oh, that I would have the faith of a shepherd boy. Oh, that I could have the faith of a young shepherd boy to see that there is nothing, there is no situation, there is no circumstance, there is nothing that I will ever face in life that is too hard, that is too big, that is too difficult for God. And you know what? Right now, I want to speak faith into somebody right now. I want to speak faith into somebody that maybe your situation is telling you that it's bigger than God. But no, because there is no limit to God. Let's not box him in this morning. Hallelujah. God, help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to break out of the box. You know, the scripture in Hebrews says faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And I really believe that faith is the key that breaks the limits. It's the key that unlocks our limits. It's faith is what breaks the box that we put God in. How does that work? It's the evidence of things we don't see. It's taking this step that even though everything else is telling me something else, everything, you know, is saying sickness or financial ruin or marriage failure or whatever it is, that I'm going to say no, because I'm going to put my faith and my hope and my trust in God. And I'm just going to take a step in faith. And I'm going to believe that he is going to do something beyond this limitation. Our circumstances don't have to be a limitation to God. God is greater. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, for me, I've always believed that God can do anything. I've always believed that. I believe that God could do whatever he wants to do. I have that faith. There's nothing in me that really shakes that. Where I struggle is I struggle to believe that he wants to do anything for me. So we're good at this. I can have faith for you that God's going to heal you, and I have faith that he's going to give you a new car or whatever it is that you need. And it's for you. But I really struggle sometimes to believe, does God want to do it for me? I've seen him do it for this person in this way, but he hasn't done that for me. Actually, I'm over here struggling right now. Does God really want to help me? Let's look at Ephesians 3:20. And this is the scripture we get behind, right? Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works into his and in us. And everyone's like, yes, amen, amen. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly, but for you. Right? It reminds me of a story in Matthew of a leper that came to Jesus. In Matthew 8, we find the story starting in verse 2. It says, "And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean.' And then Jesus put out his hand and he touched him and he said, 'I am willing. Be cleansed.' And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." You know, sometimes we have that feeling, I don't know if you want to do this for me, God. But just as this leper, we can come to God and we can say, God, I don't know if you're willing, but if you're willing, you can do this in my life. And even in our weakness as a human, and even in that thought that we have that I don't know if you're willing or not, if we can bring it to God, if we can show up and say, here I am, this is the reality of where I'm at, and if you're willing, God, please do this in my life. His response isn't, okay, maybe. His response was very clear. I am willing. And I think we need to hang on to this. I think we need to have this as one of those things that we grab onto when the enemy starts to lie. Are you willing, God? Do you really want to do something in my life? Do you really want to heal me? Do you really want to help me? We need to have those words ring out in our mind. I am willing. God can and he will. Amen? God, help us to have faith, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I think the question that I ask myself as I'm teaching a lot to myself, I guess, this morning too, but where are you at? Where are you at today? Are you living renewed day by day? Are you struggling to be defined by life circumstances? Are you wanting a new birth experience, or do you need to remind your soul of what God has done? Are you hungry? Are you hungry for more, or have you found yourself becoming complacent? Are you ready to break the boxes and the limits? There's really no right or wrong answer, and it's okay to be honest with wherever you're at. I think today what I hope is to encourage you just to take a step. A step to live renewed, to remember what God has done, to be hungry, to break the boundaries, to break the limits, and believe that God can and he will do amazing things in your life. And this isn't just fluff, right? It's not just like, oh, I believe that God can, hallelujah, amen. No, it's not just blind faith, like, oh, I believe God can do anything. This is a mindset shift where we're saying, I'm not staying here in what I've always known. I'm choosing not to stay in what I've always known. I want more and I want to grow. And even if my circumstances around me are all messed up and they're telling me something else, I'm still going to put my faith in God and I'm still going to take a step. And I'm still going to believe for greater things. Amen? I remember when I was about 13. I just feel to share this morning that I had been raised in church my whole life. And at 13 years old, my mom was going through a very difficult time. And she decided that she was going to walk away from church. And that was a really difficult time for me because I was very impressionable at that age. And I had to make a decision. Am I going to choose to serve the Lord, or am I just going to follow, the path that my mom is taking? And I had already had this relationship with God for so long. He had been with me ever since I was 4 years old. And I just had seen him so much in my life and show up so much in my life that I couldn't let that go. I couldn't ignore that. And I decided, well, I'm going to do the best I know how, and I'm going to continue to try to serve the Lord. And I would have to find rides to churches. Sometimes I would come to church. Sometimes I couldn't. It was a really challenging time. And at first, I was really discouraged. You know, I'd be like, I don't know why my mom is, you know, making these choices, and I'm just a kid, and I don't know what to do here, but I'm going to do my best. And then I started saying, you know what? I don't want to settle like that this is just what life is. I don't want to be like, yep, this is just how it is. She made her choice, and now I'm stuck trying to figure this out, and this is just how it's going to be. And it's so interesting to look back because I didn't know anything. I was just a kid. You look around at a 12 or 13-year-old kid now, I didn't know anything. But there's one thing I didn't know. I knew that if I put my faith in God, I knew that if I decided that I was going to trust in the Lord and not just accept, yeah, this is what's happening in my life, but declare his greatness and declare his goodness. And I used to pray and I would say, I know my mom's not saved right now, no, Lord, but she's going to be saved. I believe that she's going to be saved. I don't know how she's going to get saved. I don't know how this thing is all going to turn around. A lot of this is really hard and doesn't make sense, God, but I put my faith in you and I believe that she's going to be saved. And you know what? I'm going to take it one step further. I thank you that you saved her, God. I thank you that you're going to do something in her life. I thank you, God, for the things that I can't even see. That's what faith is. Faith is putting your hope, putting your trust, putting your confidence in the Lord. And you know what? I'll never forget the day. I'll never forget the day. And it did something for my faith walk and my faith journey. When my mom came back to this church and she walked down to the front and she came back to the Lord. I was just a kid. I didn't know, but I learned something in that. What did I learn? I learned that in this life, we have to walk by faith. But sometimes it's hard to understand how that actually looks when we're facing circumstances. Walking by faith, waking up, sometimes it's just minute by minute. Lord, I put my hope in you. Yeah, this is a really difficult thing right now in a really difficult situation. But I come to you again. I give it to you again. I'm trusting you again. I'm believing in you again. And you know what? One step at a time, day after day after day. And all of a sudden, when you were way over here in this really difficult situation, in this really hard circumstance, as you're following Christ and you're saying, God, I put my faith in you. God, I put my hope in you. This is really hard, but God, I trust in you. God, I know that you're going to come through. God, I know, Lord, none of this makes sense, but I'm going to lean on you because you're good and you're holy and you're mighty and you're powerful and you're righteous and you're worthy, God, and you're greater than anything I could believe or imagine. All of a sudden, you're walking in victory. All of a sudden, that situation, that circumstance, it's no longer living as an enemy in your life anymore because you have victory over it. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning. Church, I want more of God than I've ever had before. I am so hungry. I am hungry for more. I don't want to limit God. I don't want to put him in any box. And I've served him a long time. But my prayer lately has been, God, reveal yourself to me in a deeper way. God, I'm not going to come in here. You see me. You see me come up to the front and worship. And I'm there on Wednesday. And I'm there on Sunday. And I come there day after day because God is worthy. And no matter what situation that we go through, no matter what situation I face, I'm going to come down and I'm going to give him the praise and the glory that he deserves because I'm hungry for more. Hallelujah, Jesus. Can we all stand this morning? Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all pray this morning, God. We thank you so much for this opportunity that we've had to come to dive into your word, God. And I pray that wherever each person is this morning, God, that you would draw them to you, that you would draw them to your heart, God. And as a church body, that you would grow us and you take us further and deeper in you, God, that you would develop our faith, God, that you would encourage us, God, that you would break the limits, Lord God, and the boxes that we may have placed you in, God. And we are believing and we are expecting and we're having faith, God, for greater things, Lord God, for greater things in our lives, Lord, for greater things in this church, God. We just thank you for what you're going to do, Lord God, not only today, Lord God, but in the days to come. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name, can everyone say in Jesus' name, amen.